sick out by workers in Kentucky. Your thoughts about the state of the labor movement right now?
10 seconds.
Well, the labor movement is obviously under assault in every respect. But what is really unique and unusual now that people are beginning to recognize that they are entitled to live with some degree of dignity and respect. We have teachers in West Virginia and across
Bill
the country.
Bill Lucey, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll do part two of our discussion. Post online at democracynow.org. Bill Lucey and H.B. Crockett. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock, and this is KBOO Portland, More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Up next, they'll take your calls. Stay right here. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the League of Women Voters of Portland, presenting a candidate forum on Tuesday, April 10th, beginning at 6 p.m. for candidates running in contested races for Metro President and in Multnomah County for Auditor and Chair and Commissioner District 2 at the Multnomah County Boardroom, 501 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. A second forum for Portland Commissioner Positions 2 and 3 and Metro Councilor Districts 2 and 4 will be held on Tuesday, April 24th, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Multnomah County Boardroom. More information at www.lwvpdx.org.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the rededication of the Gadhar Commemoration Plaque on Saturday, April 7th at noon at the Astoria Maritime Park in Astoria. The Gadhar Party was founded in Astoria in 1913. It became a global movement to end British colonial rule in India. Its roots in Astoria, including ties to Finnish and other labor radicals, were honored in 2013 with a celebration and a plaque. That plaque was stolen last October. The East Indian community and other people of conscience will gather to rededicate and celebrate its installation on April 7th. Again, that's the rededication of the Gadhar Commemoration Plaque on Saturday, April 7th at noon at the Astoria Maritime Park, 200 West Marine Drive in Astoria, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor One Words Alive Tour on Thursday, April 5th, 7 p.m. at Specs Records and Tapes, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland. This in-store performance by One Word for his Alive Spring Tour will be followed by several sets from local hip-hop support, Lisa Vazquez, Burt Sienna, Valvoline, and Northern Draw. This is an all-ages show. Again, all ages. That's One Word's Alive Tour at Specs Records, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland on Thursday, April 5th from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. Open to teens of age 14 to 18, the Peace Jam Conference will include several addresses by Dr. Shireen Abadi, the first woman ever to become a judge in Iran and the first Muslim woman to win the Peace Prize. There will also be service projects, workshops in leadership, civic engagement, peace building, and more. Again, that's the Peace Jam Northwest on Saturday, April 7th and Sunday, April 8th at the Erb Memorial Union on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. Today is April 2nd, 2018. It is Tuesday, and this is KBOO, your community radio station, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and KBOO.fm via the World Wide Web. And this is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. And we welcome you who are listening on the various airwaves this morning. I'll give you our phone numbers for your participation in our program later this morning. To call in, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And thank you all for listening. And if you're listening live, it's Monday morning, yes, the first Monday in April. And as usual, I guess it's supposed to rain, but for the moment, it is okay. I want to share with you a quote that was from an interview about 8 years ago. And most of you will figure out who this is after I begin this quote. It's an interview. In response to a question, where is privacy on the web going? And the responder said, when I got started in my dorm room at Harvard, the question a lot of people asked was, why would I want to put any information on the internet at all? Why would I want to have a website? And then in the last 5 or 6 years, blogging has taken off in a huge way, and all these different services that have people sharing all this information. People have really gotten comfortable not only sharing more information and different kinds, but more openly and with more people. That social norm is just something that has evolved over time. Mark Zuckerberg, in an interview in 2010, was commenting on the social norm and our expectation of privacy in our lives. All of us have been aware of the burgeoning scandal or information that has come forth in recent week of Facebook and Cambridge Analytica. And the question has become whether or not, for all of us, whether or not we are the one 50 million people whose information, private user data, has been leaked to Cambridge Analytica, a shadowy political computer consultant firm that's associated with right-wing forces, including the presidential campaign of Donald Trump. And whether or not Facebook has violated FTC agreements regarding user data disclosure, the question is an open one for all of us. It's how have we opened ourselves for our information to be shared? Have you checked your privacy setting on your social media sites? So the question for us this morning, I would like you to ponder and to share. How dependent are you on social media? One, have you, in light of recent news, limited your use of social media? Have you attempted to delete your social media accounts? And what happens to all that information that you thought you might have deleted if you delete it? And how do you safeguard your privacy? Give us a call if you have some thoughts about this on the larger scandal in terms of the access that this private political consultant firm had to data. I think 50 million Facebook users. Wow, that's a lot. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187 to give us a call and have us your insight. I guess I was prompted in part by I was on social media, of course, the other night, and someone noted that they were, and they gave warning that in X number of days, they would delete their Facebook account. And the question came up, well, how do you get in touch with this person? Well, there are other ways that maybe we have not adjusted to. Give us a call, 503-231-8187, and answer, you know, these questions. How do you safeguard your privacy on social media? How dependent are you on social media? And have you limited or deleted your social media accounts? 503-231-8187. And, you know, our radio show doesn't have a Facebook account, but certainly KBOO does.
Well, we thought about it.
We thought about it, and yeah. Maybe we should not think about it now.
Well, it's a lot of work, and I don't really feel like I got that much to say that I just have to have a Facebook page for the show. Mine, I have one.
And a Facebook, a personal mm-hmm. Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And
but I don't update it often. As a matter of fact, I do good if I visit it once a month.
Well, the question isn't if you visit it, uh-huh. are other people visiting in it?
And well, they might be.
Mining the information. How?
Well, they won't get very much.
Okay, so you're loud and proud. Nerd, computer nerd. And your privacy settings are pretty strict on social media platforms?
What I do is I limit how much information I have about me. And I'm careful how much connections and links I do. But the question also should be, what is a person's definition of privacy? How do you define and demonstrate your personal selfhood, your shared self, and your, you know, how do you define what is private in your world? Because I think one of our fundamental challenges is the fact that people nowadays describe privacy different.
Yeah,
and that's part of the challenge.
And I think Mr. Zuckerberg hinted at that
uh-huh.
in that article from 2010 that certainly the bar has shifted in terms of how we define privacy and
mm-hmm.
and what that means. And interesting. So let's see what some of our wise people have to say.
And we want to invite again young people, folks of color, and like to get some gender balance, you know, 503-231-8187. And we'll go to LJ. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm above ground.
Good.
I got no complaints.
All right. Spring has sprung. All right. So the way I protect my privacy is by not having a computer. I don't have a computer. I don't have a cellular phone. I am talking to you from a landline.
Okay,
I listen to you on the radio.
Uh huh.
So
basically, you don't participate.
No.
Okay.
I would being I'm an older man, and have we've been victimized by McCarthyism. Back when I was
okay.
All right.
Okay.
I choose not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in touch with me, my landline phone number is out there, and if you want to send me some kind of correspondence, you can write it on, put it in an envelope, and put a stamp on it.
Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. And we'll look forward to you. Let us know when you want to
participate. Okay, but thank you.
And certainly your privacy is safeguarded by
relatively.
By using telephones and the post office. No one would ever think of.
Well, that's how they found the Unabomber, and that was off the grid living. I made up my mind that I was going to participate, and maybe that is another qualification in our discussion today. But I made up my mind I was going to participate, but just be mindful of how much information and what information I put out there. Mm-hmm. And we have, with the younger generation, I think I'll be nice and call it a permutation of the definition of privacy, because they look at it as sharing or bringing everybody closer, because Facebook's mission, they describe their mission as bring the world together, okay? And so I like the idea of being in degrees of connection, but it's the kind of connection, We don't need to know everything about a person, and that's why you have expressions like overshare now, which is a word, or an expression that I've used myself, but I read it was commentary about young people making their moves too loud. Well, what do you mean when you say my moves are too loud? Or is it because they're like Jagger? It's because what they mean by that is your moves are just your ways of expressing yourself or the ways of speaking out, but too loud meaning you're oversharing.
So what about it in terms of, and I can understand the resistance to oversharing, as our previous caller saying, by making a conscious decision of not have a presence online, but what about it becomes in so many ways necessary? So whether it's you may not have a personal Facebook account, but you mm-hmm. might have your resume online. If you might we can call LinkedIn or some other web source that you use in terms
like
of
LinkedIn or
yeah mm-hmm. in terms of information. So certainly
still I'm just really careful about
careful.
The information.
You
but
too.
I also have an old school idea of privacy.
Yeah.
So that's why I was inviting some of the younger folks to talk, because they have privacy's been redefined, and I don't want to keep this person hanging, but I watched this movie called The Circle. Some of you all might have seen it. And in it, it describes how there's been a paradigm shift in what people call privacy and expectations of what can be shared. And so I'll throw that out there, when we talk to our caller. Mm-hmm. Good morning. How are you doing, Sylvia?
Yeah, good morning. I just want to add a comment. I don't have any technology. All I have is a landline, and I have a very old radio, and thank God for cable, because that's my real connection. And one reason is because I am extremely allergic to all the electronic pollution. And the more of the stuff that there is, the worse it has gotten for me. I don't want to go into details. That's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know I'm not the only one. So there are some real dangers involved in having all that stuff. So I just wanted to add that. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And again, seeking protection against that, but certainly what about old-fashioned tapping of your telephone?
Mm-hmm.
Old-fashioned wiretaps. So, So let's. I hope we get some people who depend on social media, Twitter account, Instagram, and other things like that. So let's go to Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Cecil. I think it's a good topic. I think identity and information is extremely important nowadays, especially when you have all these illegal aliens invading America. They can't function in this society without proper identification, so they have to get it from somewhere. So they start falsifying it. And also, I want to ask you a question, Cecil. It's a little bit off the subject, but I got to know your answer. Okay. What do you think about birthright citizenship? You think anybody that's born in America should automatically get citizenship?
Well, you know that was guaranteed so that African people who were in the United States were made citizens, because after the Civil War there was that, or during, before the Civil War, there was the discussion about whether slaves, people who were enslaved from Africa, could gain citizenship, and so one of the guarantees of that was that anyone born in the United States became a United States citizen. So I'm thankful for that, so because my maternal ancestors were citizens when they became freed from slavery. So, yes, I'm in favor of that.
Now, you're right. The whole notion about birthright citizenship was designed for ancestors of slaves. Now you got other people coming into America. It wasn't designed for them. They're hijacking that. And
well, let's back up for a minute, because the Constitution wasn't designed for us. So what are you saying?
I'm talking about birthright citizenship.
Well, I'm talking about the Constitution. If you stop and think about it, the Constitution was not designed for us as people of color to have any rights. So, you know, we more or less kind of hijacked our way into the Constitution. Don't you see the similarity?
I don't think 450 years of slavery is hijacking. I think walking across the border, getting pregnant in another country and walking across the border and dropping a baby here and then claiming citizenship.
Well, okay. I think we just disagree, because
yeah.
I affirm the right for those born in the United States.
And I'm going to say this too. Given that you are fond of quoting scripture, I'm going to have to come like this. All people are made in the image of Christ. So, like, if you're going to talk about a person like that and be really disrespectful,
That verbiage is in the Constitution.
Okay, Mike, see what you want to do is cherry pick, and we can't have a conversation if you're going to cherry pick, okay?
It's in the Constitution.
The Constitution didn't count us. We weren't citizens. We weren't citizens during the Constitution writing.
I'm trying to tell you how it describes people that are.
It doesn't describe us. We weren't landowners. We weren't white.
It did. When the Constitution was amended, it gave us our citizenship.
Well, I guess we'll be amending it to count other people, too. Okay. All right.
What is that?
I guess we'll be amending it so we can count other people, too. Okay.
It wasn't designed for that. It wasn't designed for that.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Cherry picking again.
I'm not cherry picking. I understand your feelings. And, you know, that's pretty much why
Don't say anything stupid. That has nothing to do with why we're losing. What reason it has to do with our losing is the fact that white society as a whole is not too happy with the fact of sharing. You know, we have to deal with the roots of white supremacy in America and worldwide. That has nothing to do with why we're losing. We're losing because white supremacy is giving its last gasp and it's got people armed and scared of folks of color. Well, and so there it is. But we just going to agree. We're going to agree to disagree, Mike. This is not the conversation today. This is not the conversation today.
How can they be scared when they got open borders? So you just contradicted yourself.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Open borders has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Bye-bye. Bye. 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 Bye.
So our main topic this morning is is looking at whether or not people are worried about their privacy on social media and what people are doing to safeguard their privacy. And so our numbers are 503-231-8187, and I believe Tyler is on.
Yes. Good morning. Hello.
Tyler, are you there?
Hey, yeah, sorry, I had my phone on mute.
Oh, okay, great.
So, what's on your mind? What are you thinking?
So, just back to the social media stuff. I personally deactivated my Facebook account probably a year ago. Mm-hmm. Still have it. You know, I can reactivate it. Occasionally, I use Pinterest. But one point I wanted to make is, you know, with all this stuff that came out with Cambridge Analytical, it doesn't matter what your privacy settings are set to on Facebook at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is those data mining programs, which could be a game, an app, whatever's on Facebook, is pulling all the information and sending it to, you know, whoever created that app. Also wanted to just throw a shout out to a book called No Place to Hide that came out, you know, before Edward Snowden released all that
stuff. I think I have that book. I haven't had a chance to read it. One, you know, you pick them up and you put them in the library to read, but go on about that.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal book, you know, about the NSA surveillance state and what they really can do and do, you know, do accomplish. Those previous callers who called in with their landlines, you know, obviously the NSA can tap into all that. They hardline tapped the entire fiber optic cable under the oceans, you know, running from intercontinental. But yeah, I think social media is obviously a great tool for us now. Talking about, you know, structures of social change, it's a great tool for that. It's also a great tool for the surveillance state to keep an eye on everyone and obviously manipulate public opinion.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I want people to understand with this whole idea of bringing the world together and the permutation of the word privacy is the fact that there are many services and or apps that you cannot access if you don't have a Facebook account. They want you to use Facebook, and so if you want to use certain social service apps, certain banking apps, certain merchandising apps, you know, to buy things, they want you to sign in with a Facebook account.
Yeah, or a Google account, you know, but essentially the same thing there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, out of curiosity, about how old are you?
I am 35.
Okay, so yeah, you're in that prime demographic that they're looking at. So, how easy is it for you as a young person to live your life by not connecting to some of the recommended social media apps?
You know, at first it was a little hard, but I did it more for the reason that it was just a massive time suck.
I was
wasting hours of, you know, hours a day on it, rather spend that with my family and my kids, you know, just figured it was a better idea. But I also fully aware of how invasive that those platforms really are and how much they can data mine you. I did grow up, I was 10 or 11, I built a computer. So I grew up on computers, started with MySpace, if people remember that, which is, you know, basically just customized websites you can make. And work with technology all the time. I don't have, you know, problem with technology, but as always is said, it's a double-edged sword. People have to be careful with it. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how did you feel with the different idea of privacy that's kind of foisted on your generation and your cohort as opposed to maybe your parents' idea of privacy?
Yeah, I think there's probably drastic differences there. And then even so, my younger brother, he's 8 years younger than me. You know, it's even less for his generation. They, you know, they just put everything out there without any concern for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it'd be nice if we could do that without having concern for it, but obviously there's some other things that happen there.
Well, there's always going to be a nefarious entity lurking in the background trying to mine our information because, you know, big business and politics are lost without us, and so they got to find a way to control, spy on us, control. So,
absolutely.
Yikes, but true.
I've been going, this is maybe a little overkill, but there is some apps, Signal and Wire, that are actually secure messaging apps. And I recently downloaded those to just talk to my friends, just because I would rather that, even if I'm just sending pictures or joking around or whatever it is, I'd rather that not be data mined by a corporation or the government, you know, either one.
Well, I'll be honest. I assume that there is always a back door into this technology because the government is skilled at putting pressure on people and making quiet changes to things. So we don't know that we're being data mined. And when you hear about secure browsing engines or web pages or such as Start Page or what have you, I always figure, well, you use Google, how secure can you be? You know, I just assume that they're not. But thanks for your call and conversation.
Yes, thank you, guys.
And you're listening to KBOO FM. This is More Talk Radio with Celeste and Cecil. We're talking about whether or not you are secure. How worried are you about your privacy on social media? Do you use social media? What's your favorite social media site that you just can't resist? So you just have to, you know, that Instagram, or you have to see, you know, keep up with the tweets and do you tweet and stuff like that. And it's interesting when you mentioned on the previous caller and he said he was 35 and you said he was young, and, you know, that's relative, because he also noticed the difference between he and his brother, eight years, 27, which is totally different than high schoolers. I think anyone who were reflecting on the organizing that high schoolers have done in the past few weeks over with the March for Our Lives campaign and things related to that, and even going a little bit further back in terms of Black Lives Matters, is just the ability, flexibility, as you suggested, the openness that certain younger generations have with the different notion of what is private and what can be safeguarded, and why things should or should not be safeguarded. Generation shifts, and it shifts from, you know, 5 years is a generation shift.
Well, you know, I think we might have to have a redefining of generation in that terms, because I remember hearing it was 20 years, and now it seems like it's like 18 years. And maybe, as Tyler was describing, the difference between him and his younger brother, would he be 27? It seems like maybe there are even more ways that we need to redefine a generation as well, because of the speed at which changes come down. But I saved a few articles in my little pocket, my little tech pocket, you know, to read later. And one of the things that I have been noticing is kind of the way the themes are pointing to something that we need to pay attention, that all of the callers referenced, but Tyler really specifically said, with data mining. Now, one article, it came out on CNBC.com, how to download a copy of everything Google knows about you. Okay, that's a trending article. Another one I saved is the report, Facebook staff suddenly concerned about privacy, specifically theirs. Okay, and that was because of the leaked memo. Okay, Here are the internal Facebook posts of employees discussing today's leaked memo, which I thought was interesting. Yes. Some of them feeling like people have been traitors. Another one saying, well, information is meant to be shared. Isn't that one of our, you know, premises? Mm-hmm. Or one password, Net's partnership with I've Been Pwned. Now, I don't know if you heard of the phrase I've Been Pwned, P-W-N-E-D. But mm-hmm. basically, that means that, you know, you, in the vernacular, you've been got, somebody's got your password.
Yes.
And they'll do stuff like, I can't remember the exact name, credential bombing, I think it is, when passwords have been snagged along with profiles, and the hackers, will just hit lots of sites with all of these mined passwords mm-hmm. and try to open up a site. And that's specifically dangerous for people who decide to use the same password across all platforms. Mm-hmm. But it gets even better than that. Are mobile payments tricking you into leaving a larger tip? So here's a different kind of data mining. This is more like behavioral engineering, because mm-hmm. the way the app is set up, and it's for people who do a lot of online transactions, and so they're psyching you because of the nature of the transaction into paying more than you want.
So 20% still 20%?
Well, 15 to 20, depending on where you are and what it is, you know,
regardless, or 10 or less.
But wait a minute, hold on. If you're using technology to pay, okay, and somebody hands you the little phone or tablet,
right,
and the tip amount, say, 18, 23, 27.
But it usually also say how you can set it.
No. Sometimes you can't find those controls because the app is becoming more sophisticated.
Okay.
So if a person sets the app and customizes the charges, well, you know, that is related to data mining. It's a behavior modification application of the application, but, you know, or operation or whatever you want to say. But, you know, when we're looking at that, We really need to process how all of this is really shaping our behavior.
Yes, interesting.
So if you have a shift in what you think is a equitable tip, even though you may not like it, but you can't change it, and somebody's looking at you right then when you make the transaction, well, your responses are going to be mined. And sometimes they're mined by the human being watching the transaction. And sometimes they're mined by the app you're using. And organizations like Analytics or others will take that information and help the user of that app, you know, the one who's doing business with it, fine-tune how they work with people who use their app.
You're listening to KBOO, your community radio station, and this is More Talk Radio. Today we are creating this broadcast on Monday, April 2nd, 2018. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil.
I'm Celeste.
And our numbers for those who are listening live is 503-231-8187. And it's interesting because people may not be listening live and podcast later on, mm-hmm. so that even the information we get right now from people who are calling, I'm just speculating that are people who are more tied to their radio, and so that those who might be more connected to social media may not be listening to us live, and so the information we gather are very primitive. The data collection process here is limited.
Well, you know, if they were listening later, or, you know, much later, they could respond. All they could do is hit us up on the website, leave a message for More Talk Radio, or go to Gmail, moretalkradio@gmail.com, and send us a message. Because, you know, you run the risk of getting caught up in some app, but we run the same risk putting that up there. So I'm at this point, who cares? It's like, I'm just, you know, I realize that I want to function in this world to a certain level, so I'm going to have to make it easier.
Well, that's the question. I mean, we all wrestle with, you know, what are the things that we must do, or that we say, okay, in order for me to function, this is what I need to accept. So give us a call. I'm interested in other callers, whether or not you use social media, whether you have deleted any of your accounts, have you had any trouble with your social media account, and how do you try to safeguard your privacy? Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll take your calls. Celeste, we don't have a social media present for this program except via KBOO website.
Right.
And I guess we may not hurry up and start one. Not yet.
Now, you know, we've thought about it, but both of us acknowledge that we would rather our energy go into picking programs and finding guests and researching that than trying to update the website.
Okay. So, well, you know, we don't have a Twitter account either.
I have one.
Well, I mean the program.
Oh, no, we don't. We don't.
So let's go to Jen. Jen, share us your wisdom.
Well, good morning. I'm calling up here from Zigzag. And
hey.
What I'm concerned about is, like, you know, I don't know if it exactly fits, but the idea of media censorship, to be thinking that it's so great that you'd be thinking that KBOO's a place where you can express yourself and it's open-ended and you're not, like, stuck with this little box about you better agree with us or you're out of here. But there some of the media people that have been actually pulled out of Facebook and pulled off of YouTube that are bringing up some diverse topics which you hardly can even hear on KBOO anymore, such as the idea about false flags and the crisis actors, and some people thinking, well, you don't want to say, like, anything about the 9/11 thing or the this or that, what happened in Florida, that some point of view you would be thinking is, like, almost, like, so radical, forget about that, you're crazy. And that to be thinking that you might be the one little place on KBOO where you can call in and bring up some things and get shut down, that you're thinking how scary it is that you can bring up anything, dicey little topic, even with a friend on the street, because they're going to be thinking, no way, because people are so programmed. There's such a overflowing idea that from the talking points from the top, to be thinking it's not the left or the right or the red or the blue, because you can call up some show on KBOO, and if you're not just going to take all your time bashing Trump or, you know, such and such and such, and you don't fit in. So I start to be thinking there's little enclaves where you feel comfortable because you do what you're supposed to do to fit in, and if it's like that on Facebook or Twitter or KBOO, it's sort of kind of mind-blowing to be thinking you just can't, like, be yourself and express yourself, and then a person can sift through it and find some accord.
So it sounds that you said a lot in those couple of minutes. It seems to me that you started by referring to some of those platforms on YouTube, and I forgot what other you mentioned have been taken down or censored, and there are less places for that sort of freedom of speech?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Now, you know, one of the things about KBOO is the programming a lot of times is selected by the programmer. That person brings their interest and passion to the station and gets a chance to follow through and produce a piece that reflects that. So you're going to have people who are citizen journalists as well as promoting their ideas and not necessarily either thinking in terms of creating a balanced report or necessarily wanting to have a balanced report. Mm-hmm. It might be that this is a particular point of view they have and they really want to share that point of view. So,
right, go on and on. But you know, I just want to give a shout out to you guys because you're letting me, you know, voice where I'm coming from. I wanted mm-hmm. to share one perspective. You know how people would say, well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking about a more transformational way to express ourselves and have an open dialogue with each other that I'm trying to put together this little venue, or it's called the Dharma Doll. We see, well, that was our story, but we're not sticking to it, so that we could... The good point about discourse is that we can share perceptions and then shift and change, get all this information, and come out the other side like a very seminal way mm-hmm. to move forward and say, well, that's what the human revolution is about. We're going to pick through this, and I'm glad that you wanted to hear me out, to be thinking, oh, you're going to fit with my little thing, and I got my little box on KBOO. I've been here forever. I got seniority enough already. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, you know, thanks for reminding us the importance of having a broad mind and remembering the that tolerance is and civility are the foundations of not just democracy, but peaceful coexistence and sharing of ideas. Thank
oh, you're
you.
Great. I'm not really that good with propriety myself, and I tend to push the envelope, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate it if you see I'm like a little... over it might sound over the top, but I think I have a valid point here. So thanks for chewing the fat with me this morning. You're awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll thank you so much for calling. And I believe we have another caller. Thomas, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, folks. Important and timely discussion. Yeah, I... just as a quick side note, I deleted my Facebook account about 7 years ago. I saw the writing on the wall, and it just, if nothing else, a sense of dignity, you know, not being so psychologically manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And never mind all the other things about time wastage, et cetera. But at any rate, you know, I guess it's going to be a lot harder to close a barn door.
Yes.
At this point, now that the you know, the horses have really bolted, and unfortunately, it's difficult for people who see what's really going on the inside of government. It's at an all-time difficult position for people to say anything. I mean, whistleblowing has become essentially a crime in the United States. I mean, lest we forget that, you know, we've had a number of people, such as Thomas Drake and the NSA, who is a whistleblower to expose waste, fraud, and abuse, and who was rigorously attempted prosecution by the Obama administration. And we also had, we've had a number of people. We've had, of course, good old Julian Assange sitting still hiding out in the Ecuadorian embassy. We have, so it, you know, it's really difficult. There's really not a cop on the beat, and all of the channels for people to really come out and to redress the more egregious excesses are there. And another thing I would say to people is this, you know, a lot of people would say, well, what do I really have to hide myself and why do I care, et cetera?
Yes.
And what I would suggest is, does it really take that much imagination to perceive that just because we're doing things that we don't view to be problematic or illegal or anything right now, that with the winds of political change, that we very easily couldn't be in a position where these things could be sort of ex post facto gone back in mind? I mean, and another thing too.
So let me ask you to pause on that. So mm-hmm. so when you share that with those who say, you know, I don't have anything to hide, what are some of their responses, and how do you respond to the positions?
Well, first thing I say is, are you really so certain about that? And then the second thing I do is I say what I just said, which is, What if the political winds change and all of a sudden your viewpoints and your perspectives that you've been sharing with your friends and others, what if all of a sudden those things are deemed to be associated with terrorism or God knows what else? And the third thing is, let's just assume you don't quote unquote have anything to hide in the contemporary era. Well, let me ask you this: would you really want that degree of ability for corporations or the government to look into people that are investigative journalists, people that may be actually doing things presently in your favor, that are doing things that are seeking truth? Just because you don't think that you're at risk, do you want to live in a society where others who are or engage in legitimate democracy supporting activities to be at risk? So it doesn't take much imagination to realize it. And I think I believe it was Thomas Drake, the NSA whistleblower, who lost his job, and the last time I heard worked in an Apple store, okay? So he had a considerable pay grade cut. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was him that was talked about something about essentially what we have in place with the existing monitoring capabilities of the government. We have turnkey tyranny. All it really takes is a decision. And the thing is, here's the thing. It's not even so much about getting caught doing anything illegal or et cetera. It's about framing. So in other words, if there's this huge repository of all of your thoughts and your perspectives and your off-the-cuff comments sitting in a giant data storage center, what is up in Utah now, the NSA, I think it is built this giant center. Well, how does it look in a situation if, you know, not so much that you're being mined today and that people are trying to find you to do something, but what if you become politically unsavory? Then it's a matter of going back and taking and framing certain key things you've said or certain key things you've done and painting a picture before a grand jury or anything else. So that is the problem. The problem is not so much that they're scanning, that they're looking for you, little tiny tax cheats or something. It's the fact that there's an ability to politically go back, look at what you did, frame it in a certain way, given whatever the existing agenda might be in the future. So this is chilling stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And we have to really think a lot more deeply, much more deeply than the simple question of, do I really have anything to hide today?
Well, you know, even framing it, do I have anything to hide, I think, what is the word I want? Well, it's a framing technique and a leading question that disguises the whole process. It's not whether you have something to hide. It's like, well, do you want them to know how much money you make? Well, do you want them to know how you voted? Well, do you want them to know how much you paid for your car? Well, do you want them to know how much debt load you carry and the interest rate on that debt and what your prostate cancer screening result? Right. You know, that's what we need to ask people so they can realize that.
That's a good point.
We build our lives on certain illusions of security, you know. Because in my real job, one of the things I have to tell people was there's no such thing as safety. And then after everybody's warped out, then I can explain to them, no, you already know that. That's why you buy things like auto insurance and health insurance, and why you take vitamins, you know, because you already recognize things are not guaranteed or safe or absolute. So you have to rethink. And I think when you talk with your friends or you're trying to convince people, bring it down even more to the personal.
That's incredibly valid point, because who really wants all of your like you say, the medical history, medication, personal things? This does hit home. And you know, I think if there's a silver lining contemporarily in this present day, I think it might be this, and that is that the European Union is just plumb fed up. And you're talking about European Union is an umbrella over something like 400 million people, so greater than the population of the United States. And I think if some of these companies they're going to be forced to change their practices for this huge swath of citizens of the European Union. And I think this is going to have a huge pressure on the United States and maybe force there to be general protocol, or at least keep it in the awareness, because we're going to be behind, you know, much of the civilized world as far as the protection, or let's say Western democracy, as far as protections. And so I am optimistic that the Europeans may actually be the ones that will lead the way here on this. Let's hope.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Thomas.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, the protections that he was speaking about, actually, I got an article I was skimming. It comes from TheVerge.com, and it talks about the General Data Protection Regulation. It was passed by the European Union in 2016. They have some new rules. These new rules go into effect May 15th. I think, of this year. But, you know, it's supposed to reshape some of the messy parts of the internet and make it easier for you to control your information, put penalties out for industry violations, and
And you mentioned the European Union, so that would
right.
that affect people outside the European
well,
Union?
Well, see, that's the thing. As it's written right here, because I just saw that right before he said it, this primarily is going to affect the European mm-hmm. nations. And it could potentially create a divide between the European nation, or union, I should say, and the rest of the internet, okay? So I think one of the reasons why Zuckerberg has been a little anxious lately is because he's been getting numerous invitations to come to Europe and talk about how he's going to conform to these things, and he knows that there are savvy Americans, and by Americans I mean North and South, you know, because they're not part of the European Union, but savvy Americans, you know, who are going to demand the same treatment. Now, unfortunately for us, we're not always as smart as we should be, because if we were, we'd have paid attention to what our European sisters and brothers were doing, and we'd kick GMOs out of our food. But, well, you know, we can be duped, unfortunately, very easily. So, you know, for those who are interested in more information, what you are looking for... and The Verge is one article. You don't have to get it out of The Verge. But TheVerge.com, and the article is How Europe's New Privacy Rule is Reshaping the Internet. And it says this May, the GDPR will give companies a new set of rules for sharing data online. And again, that is the General Data Protection Regulation.
So much is people are involved in trying to figure out in terms of their social media mm-hmm. Presence and the role of privacy. So, you know, one takeaway I have from this conversation is that we need to be very, very careful and thoughtful about what we say and how we display our information, and mm-hmm. be aware that are out there.
They are out there, but it's not just how we share information. It's the games you play and the links you connect to and the way you use your Facebook to connect to other platforms. So, you know, share, but be aware. I guess that's the best way I can
share,
say.
But be aware.
Be aware that your information is being sold.
Thank you so much for participating and listening in this chapter of More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil.
I'm Celeste. And we will hear you next week. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the Old Mo Variety Hour.
KBOO, it is 8:58. KBOO Portland and the Old Moles are here. They're burrowing down to the roots of the great issues of our time. It's up next.
My name is Daniel Orsini, and I will be at the Social Justice Action Center on Tuesday, April 3rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m., representing and giving a talk about how autonomous projects based on solidarity, mutual aid, and people's power are thriving in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. Stay tuned to KBOO 90.7, your community radio station.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Studio 1 at KBOO Radio. Portland Underground Graduate School hosts a one-day workshop on how people learn, how to teach where your learner is and what they need to know, and how to implement it in your professional and personal life. Again, that's How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Studio 1 at KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO here at 9:01 in the morning in Portland, and you are on KBOO.fm on the web, and this is the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Clayton Martin.